God has on this beggar. There is not much dignity in begging. And this mainly is seen that he was not even looking at Peter and John as he was begging. You know, in the ancient world, there was this pervasive belief that sickness and physical disability were the result of sin. Was it a personal punishment that one is enduring? Perhaps they're being punished for the sins of their parents or the sins of their community. Remember the conversation that Jesus had with his disciples in John 9? As he was walking along, Jesus saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" That is the attitude of the people in which this man lived. Throughout his life, he has almost certainly faced difficulties, not only from his physical situation, but from the comments and the actions of people from his own community. Did they deem him to be unclean? Did he carry unrepentant sin in his life, and that's why his body was not functioning properly? Did his parents do evil things so that he was born this way as punishment? Was this man even worthy of God's love and God's mercy? On John 9, Jesus' response to his disciples is remarkable. He tells them, "Neither this man nor his parents have sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work, but while I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And as this man is begging, with his eyes diverted, Peter and John say, "Look at me." They recognize this man's humanity. And he looks at them, and he's fully expecting that because they've drawn his attention, that they've got something to give to him that he needs. Maybe they have a few nickels, dimes, quarters they can share. "Okay, guys, you've got my attention. What do you have for me?" And Peter tells him, "Silver and gold I do not have." To which the man must have been, "Ugh. What are we even doing here then, guys? Move along. But what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And this poor lame man asking for money, hoping for something small, but Peter gave him something so much better. He gave him the use of his legs. He brought to him physical healing. And Peter and John don't just simply throw a blessing at the man and walk away. How many times have you been in a situation when people have said to you publicly, or you've been in a group and somebody shares a hardship they're going through in their life or a difficulty, and they're just pouring out their heart to you, and you hear people say in response, "Oh, that's terrible. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you." Then they just walk away. Maybe at first that's what this man was thinking, but Peter and John weren't about that. They didn't just say, "Walk." They reached down, taking him by the hand. Peter helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. This physical healing from God brought spiritual healing to the man. It's just a remarkable passage. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. The man's never walked before. How does he even know how to do this? But it is all a gift of God. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. The community around this man, right? Not simply the man himself, they were all amazed by God's actions in performing this miracle. This man had suffered much in his life, physically, emotionally, spiritually, Yet it was by this act of God in the name of Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, at the hands of Peter and John, that holistic healing came to this man. And this presents to us something that we don't like to talk about much in church. But each and every single one of us is, at some point in our lives, going to suffer. All of us, at some point in our lives, are going to suffer. Some people will suffer more than others. Now, sometimes there's a human component to the suffering. Oftentimes, people simply make bad choices in their lives, and they suffer the consequences for those choices. But for other people, there is no clear correlation between the suffering they are experiencing and the life in which they have tried to live. And this is where we need to understand that God intimately understands human suffering. The Lord God understands human suffering. He is intimate with human suffering because he has suffered as a human being. God suffered torturous suffering prior to his crucifixion, when he was beaten and he was mocked. And then hanging on the tree, he was not spared the pain, the hurt, or brokenness that his path took for each and every single one of us. In fact, the pain that he experienced was probably exacerbated many times over as he bore the sin on the cross for all of humanity for all time. He bore the wrath of God, which we would not be able to bear ourselves. So we need to always understand that when we suffer, whether it be physical, emotional, or spiritual, that God understands our suffering. God is intimately understanding of it, and God is with us in and through it. Sometimes our healing comes in this life. Sometimes our healing comes in the life that is to come. But what we must cling to is the promise of God that in and through our suffering, God is present with us. While our bodies may never heal from certain maladies that we struggle with in our natural life, our spirits certainly can, through receiving the healing which God desires to give us in Jesus Christ. In Matthew 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." As Christian people, we must prepare ourselves for suffering, ideally, before suffering comes. John and Peter did not heal this man, asserting the power to heal by their own means. They did so in the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They pointed away from themselves and to Jesus. This is how we are all called to live our lives of faith, always pointing away from ourselves to Jesus. The only way we're able to see the moon in the evening and in the early morning hours is because the rays of the sun are reflecting off of the moon. This is the way that we are to reflect Christ into the world. Because God has loved us in Christ, because we have received Christ, his mercy and his goodness and his light reflect off of us into a world, onto a people that are living in despair and struggling in darkness. They are desperate for the healing that only Christ Jesus can provide. And we are called to be God's ambassadors. So the healing of this man is a miraculous event, One would think the entire community would be overflowing with joy and happiness at what has happened. But that's not the case. As you read throughout the book of Acts, oftentimes when wonderful miracles of God are performed, people react in hostile ways. And next Sunday, we're going to look at why some of the leaders of the church hated Peter and John for what they had done. But until then, may we all live lives of light and joy in Christ Jesus. Amen.